For this study this morning, it is important that you are able to hear every word that I say. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you. Those who cannot hear me or think that I have slipped over my words and you are not clear, hands up please. Good. All of you can listen, and all of you are listening, and I hope you will listen. We started our study last week on principles that regulate practices in participation in a public gathering at the local church. In a church like this, we have an open service where anybody can participate. So different from other denominational churches where there are pastors and there are ordained officers to administer the service. But here we have the liberty of anyone in the midst to take part. And therefore some people say, because it is an open service, we can do anything we like, anybody can take part. Is that so? Today, we are going to examine these rules and guides as to how we should take part and who should take part. Now, last week, we dealt with 1 Corinthians chapters 1 to 13. And in the course of it, we dealt with the relevance of the passage that chapters 11 to 14 actually are a unit by itself. Because we see the words churches, church, when you are gathered together in the church, occurring again in these chapters. Therefore, these four chapters are to be treated together as a unit. Hence, in chapter 11, you have the foundation laid down for this kind of service. The headship of the Lord must be acknowledged. And then from then on, we go on to the Lord's Supper, to the end of chapter 11. Chapter 12, we have the disbursement of the gifts so that various people can take part. And chapter 13, we have love as the element that combines us together, links us together in the administration of these gifts. And therefore, in chapter 11 to 13, we have the various relationships spelled out for us clearly as to administer and to acknowledge the very headship of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and representing Christ, man, and as representing the church, the woman. And so we see these relationships and partnerships come together to give Christ the preeminence as the head of the church. Today, we deal with part 2. And we are going into the study of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in detail. And I suggest that you all, if you have the Bibles, turn to chapter 14, because we are going to study the passage there verse by verse almost. We are going to study some practical pointers on participation at the Lord's Supper. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3 gives us the foundation of our gathering together, the acknowledgement of the headship of Christ. And then the first service we are told about this acknowledgement and administration of headship is the Lord's Supper. And it is the Lord's Supper that is important, that we are gathered together, and many think that we can do anything we like, who anybody can do anything he likes or she likes. Well, we have certain rules and certain guidelines. And these guidelines are laid down in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that we are going to study now. So, before I go into that, let us get back to love, chapter 13. Because chapter 14 deals with the supernatural gifts. And we need to understand the role of these supernatural gifts, like speaking in tongues, prophecies, and extraordinary knowledge, what are the roles of these before we really apply them as pointers in our observance of the Lord's Supper or any meeting that we are come together? So, we note last week that chapter 13 is about love, and at the last part it has a passage on the various rules, roles of supernatural gifts. Above everything else, verse 8, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. Three special supernatural gifts are listed: speaking in tongues, prophecies, and extraordinary spiritual knowledge. These three will soon be done away with. Why? For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Because those three are listed to the category of in part, not fully revealed yet. When that which is fully revealed, that which is perfect is come, these then will be put away. They were the transient gifts that were given to the church in the early days in order for them to start the church. Because there was no Bible, there was no special written revelation, so they needed to have all these. So Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Those would belong to the infant days of the early church. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in the mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I was fully known. The now that Paul used was then, at that time. The then that Paul uses is now, our time. Paul said, now that would be the time of the early days when these gifts would be useful. But then it will come when people would have matured and they will no more use this. And that is now. So their now would be our then. Their then would be our now. I hope I do not confuse you. The now and the then. Okay. So now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I was fully known. So now we fully know already, because we have the full written word of God, and we need not have to resort to these supernatural gifts anymore. Because of that, I'm going to use the principles of using these supernatural gifts to help us, guide us in our observance of certain rules that we do in our assembly. So let's start off verses 1 and 2. Let's clarify certain terms. It says that follow after love, desire spiritualities or spiritual gifts that you may prophesy. Alright, now we know that these gifts are for them, but now we do not need these gifts. But the rules and the guidelines for the use of these gifts still can be used today, can be applied today. So what I'm saying is, love we must still maintain it, because it is the element that governs our use of these gifts. When we read of prophesy, I will refer to public participation. When a person prophesies is when a person stands up to take part in a service, open service like this, in the Lord's Supper. Then we say, he that speaketh in tongue, pray that he may interpret. Then, for speaking in tongues, I will refer to public, with interpretation, participation with outside assistance. A person prophesies, speaks in tongues, he must have another person to interpret. And the person who prophesies is the person who speaks and who participates. The person who interprets is the one, well, he's not a person. Any equipment or anything that helps him to be able to pass a message over. I'm referring to the microphone. That's an interpreter. I'm referring to any other equipment that is used to help the person pass over the message. That is the interpreter. And it says there, he that speaketh in tongues without interpretation, pray that he may interpret. Speak in tongues without interpretation is to worship silently because you have no microphone. You cannot take part publicly. So worship silently. Speak silently to God or participate publicly for the profit of all. Remember, gifts are given for the common good. So if you participate, it must be that everyone in the meeting should benefit from it for the common good. If you are only to take part for your own good, please, it's better to be silent and pray to God. Worship God in a silent way. We shall see this as we go on. Right. Verses 3 to 5. He that prophesieth speaketh to edification and exhortation and comfort. Remember that anyone and everyone who stands up to participate, he must fulfill three things. One, everything done must be edifying, exhort, or encourage. If he cannot do these three for the common good, keep quiet. It is better that he just be silent. There is no self-edification except when you want to edify yourself. If you think you are thrilled by something of a revelation that you have received from the Lord for your own self, and it is not for the common good, keep it to yourself. You can still worship God that way. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. There is a difference. There is a role of a person edifying himself. That one is to keep silent. Because when you participate publicly, you have to benefit everyone. Every gift is given for the common good. So there is no such thing as self-edification. When you take part publicly and say, wow, I'm thrilled. You're very passionate. That is for your own good. But it is not for the common good of the whole church. Hence, no personal favorites or self-testimonies. You know, it's so easy sometimes because you have been thrilled by a certain song and every time you must give out that hymn. I still remember in Bumrungrad Hall, those days of old, there's one elder who would must, every time he stood up, Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace. Every time he stood up, Amazing Grace. There should be no such favorite. Everything that you say should be for the common good. All self-testimonies, giving testimonies of your own self. Testimonies have their own places. Where you experience something so wonderful, keep to yourself for that moment. Because this service is for the common good of everyone. No insistence on participating just because of self-preparation. Right. We always emphasize that we must prepare ourselves before we come. And we spend time with the Lord. And it's very good. But when you come here and you find that you must take part because you have been so benefited from what you have experienced in your quiet time. So you come here with a purpose, you must take part, and you insist you must take part, and no matter what other people say, no matter what other people sing, no matter what other people refer to in the scriptures, you just must take part, although that part that you take part is of no relevance to what the people are meditating. Now, that is not very correct. You must not insist. Let me give you a clear example. Okay, never mind. Very often, even today, let's take example today. I was prepared. I had a very good time with the Lord. I was prepared. But what I prepared, I was meditating upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, his head. But there was no mention in the head, referring to our worship this morning. So I just kept quiet. But in my heart, I was worshiping the Lord. And then together with all the other thoughts that came in, oh, it helped me in worshiping the Lord. But I did not insist to stand up to pass on what I have benefited personally. Let me develop further. What shall I profit you? I said I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. When you take part, be sure that it is not from self-motivation. Be sure that it is the result of spending time on the Word of God, scripted from Scripture to profit the people. You know, let me give you an illustration. Last week, I think all of you were thrilled by the way so many were taking part, because our thoughts were on grace. Grace, grace. Wow, we were thrilled, the amazing grace. We were thrilled with wonderful grace. And we were thrilled with many references to the thought of grace. It was wonderful. In fact, I had so much to say about grace that morning, yesterday, last week. But because there was so much participation, so much active contribution, I kept my mouth shut. I worshipped the Lord quietly, but I was thrilled. And I went back home with the thoughts of grace still ringing very richly in my mind. And afterwards, as I'm going to tell you, as a result of this meditation and rumination on grace, I came up with another contribution for this morning's rumination to my prayer partners. I'll tell you after that. So, the next thing we must be aware of is our dependence on the modern device, electronic devices. You know, today is so good to have your tablet with you, to have your phone with you, and inside is a Bible. That's very good. You can always refer to the Bible verses, and then you can take part. But together with the Bible references are also commentaries from various commentators. And what we would normally do would be, if we have been discussing, taking on grace, we just take on grace, and then there comes not only the verses that give us the grace reference, but also Bible commentaries on grace. And what we do is we look through the commentaries, and then from the commentaries, we recycle that comment, and then we produce here as a contribution. Now, we should not depend on such electronic devices. We must depend upon the Lord. We must spend time with the Lord. They must be thoughts that we have derived from the Lord, not to copy from other people's comments. This is very important as we see the Spirit guides us in our worship together at the Lord's Supper. So, I mentioned to you last Sunday about this grace. I went back home and I thought about this grace. And today, those of you who received my rumination have received this rumination on grace and how I developed it. I would have contributed that on Sunday, but I did not. I kept to myself. And I summarized the whole thing in this today's retribution. Sorry, why I keep on saying that word, rumination. So that you will know about what grace is all about. Anyway, if you are interested in receiving this rumination, you just let me know. Every week, I can send it to you to help you prepare for the Lord's Supper too. This is already number 475. Every week, 475 means I'm at this for nearly 10 years already. 10 years, every week, giving out a rumination for people to meditate upon so that they will be ready to prepare themselves for the Lord's Supper. Right. Verses 7 and 9. Except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or heart? Except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you will speak into thin air. This is important as a guideline in our participation in a public meeting like this. We must ensure clarity, audibility, and simplicity. Clarity, every word that you say must be clear. Audibility, every word that you say must be heard. Simplicity, every word that you say must be understood. There's no point standing up to contribute and you mumble your words and people do not understand. More about that later on. To be understood, therefore, be simple in your vocabulary, in your choice of words, so that all can understand what you are saying. Be sensible in your presentation that people can understand. Develop your thoughts properly, logically, so that point by point you present them. Audible in speech, distinct in pronunciation and enunciation. Now, I'm sorry to say this, but recently, even when I went to the prayer meeting, I heard a speaker, and I must confess that 50% of what he said from the pulpit, I could not understand. I could not hear or could not understand because he swallowed his words, he mumbled his words, and he just, well, was not speaking through the mic so that I could not hear what he was saying. I thought it was my fault. I asked my wife, did you understand? She also confessed that she did not understand 50% of what was said. And I asked another guest, again she said the same thing. Now, it is important that we make ourselves understood, audible and clear. And what is the difference between pronunciation and enunciation? Pronunciation is to say the words clearly. Enunciation is to make a distinction in the words that are pronounced. For example, there is a difference between a ship that sails on the sea and a sheep that eats grass. It would be wrong for you to say that I saw a ship eating grass and a sheep on the sea. It would be very wrong. So you need to enunciate your words and to pronounce them clearly. That is important. Another weakness. Speak to people. Don't speak to the air, for you shall speak into the air. I know of at least two speakers who stand on the pulpit and who will just look into the air and speak to the air. Well, at least he knows how to speak to angels. We only speak to men and women. Well, if you have a mic, use your mic. Make sure that mic. Very often, people think that when they use a mic, they can just soften their voice. Now, that's not true, because you cannot swallow your words. The mic can only take in what you put into the mic. So those, and especially in a hall like this, I think you have had the experience, as I do. I find it so difficult sometimes to listen to participants who take part and who speak through the mic. I find it difficult to follow every word that person says. Because of the echoes, because of the failure to use the mic correctly. So we need to listen to ourselves when we use the microphone, that we listen and we make sure that every syllable is pronounced clearly so that people understand what we say. There are many kinds of voices in the world. None is without significance. Be conscious of other voices. What voices? We are fortunate. We are in an enclosed atmosphere like this. Before, we would be disturbed by cars and by planes that zoom over us. But today, we are in an enclosed atmosphere, so we should be okay. No, we are not. Because we should also be conscious sometimes when among us there are babies. And babies, well, they cry. And when they cry, at the moment when they cry out, we say something. That something will not be heard. It will be overridden by the baby's cry. I know it because two or three of my recordings have been spoiled because of babies crying. The BN Gospel Center has a very nice arrangement. when it comes to the time for the speaker to speak, those people with children, they go next door where a glass window separates the two rooms. And they will look through the glass window while the children can shout and play. And they listen to the speaker because there is a speaker, loudspeaker, on the other side. And so, those of us who speak, we must be conscious. When children cry, I mean, we expect them to cry, alright? When children cry, you have to speak louder, or you have to repeat what you say, or you need to pronounce your words clearer so that they will be better heard by the listeners. Right. There are many kinds of voices, so we must be wary of them. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be a barbarian, and he that speaks to a barbarian unto me. So it's important that we make people understand what we say. Use words, concepts, and terms you yourself understand and which are understood by all. Do not try to show off by being bombastic. Do not try to show off by using theological terms. Do not try to show off by referring to Old Testament incidents that people are not familiar with, and you don't even explain what they are. And then you show off, oh, this, I know so much. Be very simple in your presentation. Do not speak Greek, either metaphorically or literally. Don't just quote Greek words for the sake of quoting Greek words because you have done a Bible study on a certain passage. Know why and when you need to quote Greek words. Right, even so, ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to excel to the edifying of the church. Please note emphasis. It's always for the edification of the church. Be zealous by all means. Gifts have their places. Say or do the right thing at the right time. Say or do the right thing at the right time. Seek to excel in your gift to the edification of the church. Now, I come back to this again. Do you notice that today there was a bit of a difficulty in trying to connect the thoughts together in our coming together to worship? Because we started with, I have a story to tell, I'm assured, and a song to sing. Then we go on to the meditation on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb, as the sheep. Then after that, we go on to Calvary, that we forget Gethsemane. After that, we go on to everlasting love. We are not very sure of which direction the thoughts are leading us. And the result is we are unable to see many contributors in contrast to last Sunday. But we thank God for matured thoughts and matured thinking to link them together again, so that as we began with the assurance, we ended with assurance as well. And so that's what we need to do. Trying to connect the thought together to speak at the right, to speak the right things at the right time and the right place. So that we can go back and say, oh yes, this morning I meditated on grace. Let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Prayer and enlist help to ensure that what is said is heard and understood. Use mics to interpret if you are inaudible. And by the way, I forgot to mention this, seek to excel in your gift. Every one of us, in order that we want to partake profitably in a public gathering, make sure that we try our very best to improve ourselves. Do not be satisfied with ourselves. Up to today, after 50 years of ministry, I still seek ways and means to improve myself. If I compare myself to what I was as a young teenager, wow, what a great difference I was then. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Be spirit-led and let your spirit communicate with the Spirit of God and be sensible, speak with that others may understand. Follow what is going on, exercise your gift as led by the Spirit accordingly. Please, it's important that when we come together in a public gathering like this, we need to follow what is said, what is sung, and what is read, so that we will be able to contribute accordingly. Follow the thought, thinking and theme in focus at a time. Many of us, I think, after finishing singing, after finishing hearing a word being read from God's word, after having listened to a prayer, we just shut off our minds already. Don't. Even the hymn books, don't shut your hymn books. Oh, something is a bit. Oh yeah. All right. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and with understanding. Understanding is very important. Do pay attention to every word in the song being sung. And that's why today's hymns are much better than the modern lyrics that you sing. Because today's hymns are doctrinal and they give us a lot of thought to lead us to Scripture. The Spirit and the saints go together. Think and understand. We are not only thrilled by the Spirit, but we must use our mind. We must seek to understand what we do in a public meeting. Ruminate and reflect on the words. So that after we have sung from the hymn book, after we have read from the Scriptures, please do not close your book or your Bible. Very often, after we have sung a hymn, we just close. And then we listen, we wait for another person to participate. We do not meditate upon the words we have sung. Very often when we sing, we do not understand what we sing. Very often when we sing, we don't pay attention to what we sing. And after we have sung, we are taken up with the melody and we forget about the lyrics. So it's time that we sit down, further meditate upon the lyrics to guide us to meditate further. Else, when thou shalt bless, how shall the unlearned say Amen? And thy giving of thanks, seeing he understand not what thou sayest. Now, if everybody understands, we hear Amen. I notice that when a person prays, and when the person is not very clear, there's very little Amen being said. But when a person stands up and he speaks very clearly, then there is Amen. I wonder whether I hear an Amen here. Can you say Amen? You see, perhaps that is the nature of our assembly. We are afraid to say Amen. Can you do better? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. We hope that this will be the trend from now onwards. Amen. All should say Amen. Participants must worship on behalf of, be intelligible, audible, and clear to the unlearned, so that he or she too can say Amen. Please note, I say that all participants must worship on behalf of. Now, sometimes we try to show our creativity, and we stand up and we pray. And we use the personal pronoun, I thank you, Lord, I thank you for blessing me, I thank you, when we speak in public on behalf. Now, when you do that, I'm sorry, very often, I don't say Amen to you. I won't say, because you are praying for yourself. You are not praying on my behalf. You are not worshipping on my behalf. You are not praising on my behalf. When we are together, and you stand up, let us remember, you are always standing on behalf of the whole church. And you are praying for the whole church, to the whole church, that the whole church may learn, and as you bring the needs unto the Lord. Fluency, keenness, zealousness, good impression may not edify others if self-motivated. So let us not put ourselves forward, but let us seek to glorify God to the benefit and profit of all people. In the church, I had rather speak 5 words, I might teach others also. Be precise and concise. Self-profit is not church edifying. If self-profit is not in line with the profit of the church, keep it to self. So again, let me repeat. Whenever you take part, it must benefit the church. It must be for the common good. In malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Select not sensational sign gifts, prophecy, understanding, and so on. They were the roles of the infant church. Today, we are more matured, we have the word, so let us be more matured and contribute as men. 23 to 25. he is convinced of all. And so falling down, he will worship God and report that God is in you. So be orderly with controlled exercise of gifts, leading others to revere God and to the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will note the difference. You see, even in the time when tongue speaking was allowed, when prophesying was allowed, it must be that they must not be done in confusion. There must be order, decency, and there must be proper administration and management. You just cannot jump in and out as you wish. The guidelines are very clear. Do not be irrelevant or irreverent. Irrelevant means you are out of the thinking of the common good. Irrelevant means you use words which are not reverent unto God. How is it? Everyone has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation. People just popping up. That's very good. Active participation. But please, it says there, the self-prepared must not insist in participation in a particular part of a service. Take your turn. Do not compete and jump in. You know, this is to be understood in proper context. It is good to see people being active. You are active because you are so thrilled by what you have prepared and you insist, as I said earlier, on contributing. Now, that's not right. Because as the Lord leads, as the Spirit guides in the church meeting like this, then you contribute towards the common good and development of thought in our assembly. So, take your turn. Sometimes, you know, it's good to pause a while after a certain message, a certain singing and so on, certain song. We find that before the person has time even to sit down, pop, comes out another one. As if another one is trying to compete with you to take your turn. Let us be reverent in our coming together. Let all things be done and to edify him. Oh yeah, participating in a particular part of a service. You know, the assembly worship service is a service where all can take part. There is no special part reserved for anyone. So that one person, I still remember one brother in Bumrah Hall years ago, he would only stand up to give thanks for the bread. Only he. Every time it was time to give thanks for the bread, he would be the one to stand up. No other would be allowed. Well, not in the sense that he was always the first and the others had no chance. Now, or perhaps be the first or the second or the third person to contribute. There is no reserved part for any brother. The breaking of bread and the pouring of the cup is for everyone. The drinking of the cup is for everyone. All to take it. But the only point is you must do it reverently. Very reverent. Therefore, sometimes it is not right for a person just to come up here to break bread and he puts his back to the back of the congregation and he breaks the bread in front of him. Now, that's very rude, isn't it? So, there are things that we need to know when we do things for God. Allow pauses. And we are told there, if any man speak, let it be by two or at most three. Now, this is for tongue speaking, you know. In a tongue speaking service, only two or three are allowed. It's not all together. But do we see this? In the same way, we are not suggesting that only two or three take part in our service like this. There should be order. That is what is needed here. Do not take part more than necessary. In other words, please, do not be the only one to give a hymn, to pray, to read the Bible passage, and so on. And again, perhaps. Do not monopolize. Let others have a chance. Now, in my 50 years of testimony and ministry in association with the assembly, I have never taken part more than twice in any Lord's Supper. Usually once. And some people may accuse me of saying that perhaps, why are you always reading from the scriptures and not giving out a hymn? I do not give a hymn because I feel that a young man can easily do it. So let him have the opportunity. But a young man can find difficult to link the scriptures together to direct thoughts to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us consider one another for the common good. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Do not be afraid of silence. Be silent. Speak to self and to God. When there is silence, please speak to God. Do not look around. Do not look at comments. Do not look at your phone. Do not look around and don't be distracted by all these other things. Speak to God. Meditate on what has been said. If a person is forespoken, then better be silent because other people cannot benefit from it. There is a place for silent worship. But do worship. Do worship. Sisters, worship. When they are silent, they worship. Don't talk. Don't look around. Worship the Lord. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. Now, don't be sensitive. Sometimes you take part and more mature people will come to say, tell you, look, this is not very correct, give you some advice. Do not be sensitive. Listen to it. Listen to it and take heed. But be, of course, the person who tells you must be constructive. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Give chance to others to take part. Do not jump in. Allow pauses. Do not monopolize. It is not message time. This is the time for you to give a message. And you take 15-20 minutes so that other people don't take part anymore. Not message time. Silence can be meaningful. Diam-diam ubi berisi. Diam-diam besi berkarat. Meaning, when you are silent, you can be like ubi, you can berisi. But when you are silent and you are like besi, then it's bad, very bad. Be still and know God, or be silent as a grave. So we have to depend on what silence you are contributing in the worship meeting. Right, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, all comforted. So remember, those who contribute must also lead, listen, and learn. Participants lead, but they also need to limit themselves and listen to others, that they all may learn and all may be comforted. Follow what is said, read or sung. I have mentioned all these earlier, so I will just skip. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Participants are spirit and self-control. They do not go out of control. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. All should learn from, give way to, and be edified by others. Let there be order in worship. As in all churches, let your women keep silence. In the churches, they are commanded to be under obedience or in submission. The women have the part, the men have the part. Sisters, to engage in silent worship and to exhibit signs of being under obedience, silence, and submission. Chapter 11, verse 3. It's a command under the law and a custom in all the churches. Alright, we have dealt with that last week already, so we won't take time for that. It is a shame for women to speak in the church. Verse 35. A shame. Chapter 11, 35. Shame to speak in church. 11:6, shame without head covering. For men, shame with long hair. 11:14, Christ not ashamed when he calls us brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed. So why should we be ashamed? Come the word of God from you unto you only, a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. Now some of the things that Paul has written may not suit us. And that's why there are so many people who go against what is written in 1 Corinthians 11-14. Now, Paul summarizes what he has said in this way. Let him acknowledge, these thoughts are not Pauline chauvinistic. In other words, Paul is not a woman hater, that he says the woman is this, is this. The woman submits because he represents the church. And the church must be subject to the head of the church, which is Christ. It is not Corinth confined. All these things were not peculiar only to the church in Corinth. Only Corinth did these things which were not correct. And Paul said, look, what I have taught is the custom of all the other churches. And what he has written has nothing to do with cultural thoughts at that time. It may be controversial, but let's remember that if anyone has anything to contend, it is not the custom of the churches. And what Paul wrote was not circumstantial at that time, but the principles still follow to this time. These things are church-orientated and are the commandments of the Lord, as the prophet and the spiritual will acknowledge. He says, a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. So, finally we end. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Let us not argue about that and lead us to a division. Or as the NIV says, if he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Thus, one can choose to be ignorant, to ignore and suffer the consequences, that is, continue to be ignorant or be ignored. Therefore, covet to prophesy and to forbid not speak with tongues. In other words, forbid not, follow. Therefore, forbid not any to take part, seek to participate, but regulate it. To be orderly is to follow the principles and practices, regulations and guidelines laid down in 1 Corinthians chapters 11 to 14. And with this, I end because my time is up. So do participate in public gatherings like this, that all things be done unto edifying, that all things be done decently and in order. And with this, we end. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning. We thank Thee for the time we have come together in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the assurance we have had. And as a result, we have a story to tell and a song to sing. We pray, O Lord, that our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ may ever be steadfast. And this should lead us, O Lord, to proclaim Him, to honor Him, to own Him and acknowledge Him as the head of our lives, as the head of our congregation and our church. Lord, we do pray that even as we learn these things, our coming together to remember the Lord each Sunday may be very profitable, as each one of us contributes in a very clear and understanding way, so that it may lead on to the common good and the edification of all, things being done decently and in order to the glory of Thy name. We give Thee thanks for this time spent together in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.